Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Happy Labor Day, everybody. It's Labor Day, 2011. Labor Day began as an idea in the minds of one person who cared greatly for a very important segment of the marketplace, the workers. But who that person was has been debated for more than 100 years. Some records indicate that it was a machinist and a Central Labor Union CLU official, Matthew McGuire. McGuire is reputed to have first suggested a day to honor the working man. There are other references to a guy named Peter McGuire, no relation, spelled differently, to Peter McGuire, co-founder of the American Federation of Labor, you know, the AFL, they're still around, that Peter was the father of Labor Day. McGuire is said to have proposed the honoring of those who from rude nature have delved and carved all the grandeur we behold. Regardless of the paternity of a day honoring those who labor, such a day was first celebrated on Tuesday, September the 5th, 1882, in New York City, by members of the CLU who took an unpaid day off to demonstrate solidarity and, of course, have picnics. The event was repeated a year later as the CLU urged labor organizers in other states to celebrate a working man's holiday on the first Monday in September. The idea caught on and it spread quickly. New York introduced the first government bill for the official Labor Day, but Oregon beat them to the punch in terms of having a bill like that signed into law. And by 1890, more than two dozen states had adopted an official state Labor Day. But if it hadn't been for a major strike and the self-interest of politicians, who knows how long it would have been before Labor Day became a federal holiday. The year was 1884, and it was an election year. That was the year that was an ugly strike waged by employees of the Pullman Company, you know, the folks who made those railroad sleeper cars back in the day. In 1880, founder George Pullman, he built a utopian town around his factory in Illinois. You guessed it. It was called Pullman. Hard by to Chicago, Pullman, Illinois was a real company town. Company store, company housing, even a company bank upon which Pullman employees' payroll checks were drawn and from which checks company store provisions and rent for company housing was deducted. Everything operated with almost utopian efficiency until 1893, that is, when a national depression caused orders for Pullman cars to drop to such a level that some Pullman employees, had to accept pay cuts, and some were even laid off. This 19th century downsizing produced a can of worms. How do you deduct company housing rent from an employee's paycheck when there isn't one? The subsequent strike was so ugly that President Cleveland declared it a federal crime and deployed 12,000 work troops to break it up. The strike ended on August 3rd, 1884, but not before significant property damage and two people were killed and a bunch of folks went to jail. With 1894 being an election year, as I mentioned earlier, President Cleveland and Congress needed to make amends with the working class for their heavy-handedness, breaking up the strike the way they did. Consequently, legislation was rushed through both houses at record speed in 6 days. Just 6 days after the U.S. troops stopped the strike in Pullman, Cleveland signed the bill into law. The first Monday in September became a federal holiday. It became Labor Day, including the District of Columbia and the territories. In 1898, Samuel Gompers, then head of the AFL, called Labor Day a day for which toilers in past centuries look forward. When their rights and their wrongs would be discussed, that the workers of our day may not only lay down their tools of labor for a holiday, but upon which they may touch shoulders and marching phalanx and feel the stronger for it. End quote. Alas, entrepreneurs aren't as organized as our union brethren, nor are we as pushy, probably because we're too busy paying for national holidays for our employees. There's no single small business day officially decreed by the U.S. government, no Entrepreneurs Day set aside to honor the few who do so much for so many, a day when everyone gets off to picnic and party down in honor of the real heroes of the marketplace, small business owners. There actually is a Small Business Week. The U.S. SBA, the Small Business Administration, picks a week every year, usually it's around May, to recognize those who have been chosen from the state levels as the creme de la creme of entrepreneurs in America. Plus, like the unofficial Labor Day events of the 1880s, there are Small Business Weeks all around the country in different venues, but the dates are random and the festivities are parochial. No single Small Business Day. If we're ever to have a National Small Business Day, National Entrepreneurs Day, we'll have to convince the government. And that's easier said than done. Could be, you know, because we don't strike, right? Small businesses have many champions in Congress. But there's way too much indifference, disregard, and in some cases, believe it or not, folks, this is incredible, blatant disrespect and disdain for by politicians for those of us who sign the front of over 70 million paychecks every Friday. Ask a politician to get excited about a small business in his or her district that gets an award, and you might get a favorable response, but you might not. Trust me, I speak from years of experience. But if you want to be in the one place where you know you can find a member of your congressional delegation, check the district Labor Day celebrations. The only thing more guaranteed than the picnic and barbecue on Labor Day is the appearance of members of the political class as they kiss babies, glad hand, and generally suck up to the leaders and rank-and-file members of labor unions. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a National Labor Day. I'm sorry, a National Small Business Day. That's the answer. And we need to do it in August when the politicians are in their districts. But it needs to be on a Sunday. That way, it doesn't become a double whammy for small business owners, right? We need to make it on Sunday so that it's there's no payroll that day. So small business owners can be recognized, and we don't. And it's a national holiday. It's just that it doesn't become an extra payday for small business. Why would you give small business owners a holiday if it costs them, right? So it needs to be in August when politicians are in their districts. It needs to be on a Sunday. That's what we got to do, folks. We need a National Small Business Day. That's what I've been saying for a long time. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.